brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart. The nation's most effective. What, how does it go? I've forgotten. I'm completely unprepared. Isn't that embarrassing? You know what happened is the microphone fell apart here. Forgive me. Bear with me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. The microphone took a dive toward the floor right as we went on the air. It's demons! There's demons in the studio. Lay hands on this microphone. All right, but it's okay. I am not Bob Enyart, the nation's most effective, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in once again as Bob is taking on an important mission on behalf of the personhood movement, the personhood campaign, with Election Day, what, 5 months away? Bob has dedicated himself to take the entire month of May and work exclusively on personhood efforts at great personal cost to his ministry and his broadcast financially. So just keep that in mind as you listen to the broadcast that Bob is doing this at great personal expense, putting the broadcast, frankly, in jeopardy. Putting the broadcast in jeopardy, but for a worthwhile cause. And just before airtime, the red bat phone here in the KGov studios rang, and it was Bob Enyart himself from parts unknown, an undisclosed location, sending a story that is, well, it's frankly shocking. I was stunned to read the story, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But keep in mind that the broadcast hangs tenuously on a financial tether no thicker than the filament of a spider's web dangling in the wind. We need your financial support to keep the broadcast on the air. You can lend your financial support by giving us a call, having your credit card, your checkbook, or your retirement ready to roll over. You can call us at 1-800-8-369-278. That's 1-800-8-369-278. Call us. Make a donation. Buy the Bob Enyart Library. How much is the library? Like $1,500? You might as well give that away. Somebody might as well come up to you and put a gun to your head and force you to give it to them. They're practically stealing it. That's over $3,000 worth of material. And in eternal terms, it's simply, well, it's invaluable, frankly. So that's the number to call, 1-800-8-369-278, to make a donation to buy the library. Or if you wanted to call in and give me your 2 cents, well, that's the same number to call if you'd like to do that. Or you can go to kgov.com. That's K-G-O-V as in government, G-O-V as in government, kgov.com, as we await the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At which point the government will be upon his shoulders. Amen? Can I get an amen? All right. I got an amen. All right. So that's the state of things today as we go to air. And I want to start with a story that I think it basically sums up where we are as American men. This is from the Cleveland Sun-Star Courier, which, if I'm not mistaken, is in Ohio. The great state of Ohio, the heartland, right? We would call Ohio the heartland, where men are men. Well, you tell me. An animal control complaint was filed. Residents out on Drake Road in an unnamed suburb, unnamed because of shame, I'm sure. Residents called police because they were trapped in their home by a squirrel. They were trapped in their home by what they called a temperamental squirrel. The squirrel was desperate to get in the house, according to the residents, and the squirrel kept jumping at the garage door and would run at the residents, men, women, and children, anytime they opened the door. So these terrified suburban Americans, they called the police. They called 911 because they couldn't escape their house because of a squirrel. And, you know, I could see being afraid of a squirrel. I would. If I tried to go outside of my house and there was a squirrel jumping around like crazy, I would be scared too. but I think I would take matters into my own hands. I think I could handle a squirrel, if need be. I mean, pick up a broom, for crying out loud. It's a squirrel. They called 911. Tell me that all is not lost in American masculinity when the when the head of the household can't repel a small rodent off the front porch to secure his family's health and well-being. It's just a sad tragedy. I'm sorry to report it, but we will have better news later in the broadcast. I want to touch briefly on an email exchange that I've been witnessing between conservative talkers, conservative leaders, and other assorted conservatives regarding Dr. James Dobson's recent endorsement of Rand Paul. Are you familiar with Rand Paul? Are you familiar with Ron Paul? Ron Paul, politician from Texas. What do they call themselves? What is an immoral conservative? Do you remember Bob's definition? I'm sorry. An immoral conservative is a... Well, it just escapes me because I just don't pay attention to these things generally. But Ron Paul is one of those. Anyway, James Dobson has endorsed a young man named Rand Paul. Are you familiar with Ayn Rand? Atlas Shrugged, The Fountainhead, and all that. Objectivism. Maybe that's what Ron Paul is, an objectivist. After all, he named his son after Ayn Rand. It's like he read Atlas Shrugged. And he was so taken by it that he named his son Rand. Anyway, if anyone can think of what Ron Paul is, please give me a call and help me out here. I think he's an objectivist because he named his son Rand. But there may be a more common colloquialism for Ron Paul's political positions that simply escapes me at the moment. It all started when this microphone fell off the stand right as we went to air. All right. So James Dobson has endorsed Rand Paul in, let's see, Rand Paul is running for something, dog catcher or student council, Senate or Congress, something on par with all of that. And James Dobson says initially he did not endorse Rand, who is running in the Republican primary for the U.S. Senate, no less. The U.S. Senate. James Dobson initially withheld his endorsement from Rand. In fact, endorsed his opponent, but now he has changed his position because Dr. James Dobson says, I know now, James Dobson says, quote, I know now that Rand Paul is avidly pro-life. He believes that life begins at conception. And so that's why James Dobson has decided to endorse Rand Paul. Now, Rand Paul has come out in support of the Sanctity of Life Act of 2007 that was championed by his father, Ron Paul, famous objectivist. And I just want to read the Sanctity of Life Act of 2007 so that you get some context as to the depth of the pro-life feelings of Ron Paul and his progeny, Rand. Section 1, human life shall be deemed to exist from conception without regard to race, sex, age, health, defect, or condition of dependency, and the term person shall include all such human life. That's pretty darn good. I'm liking this. If I'm James Dobson and someone has faxed this over to me with an endorsement from Rand Paul, I'm pretty excited at this point. I'm ready to endorse Mr. Paul myself. But let us read on. In the Sanctity of Life Act of 2007, as promulgated and supported by Ron Paul, after the sentence, the term person shall include all such human life, which to me was a perfect place to end the act, the statement. That's a good place to end it right there. Period. How about that? Anyway, it says that this act recognizes that each state has authority to protect the lives of unborn children. He's a libertarian. Is that what Ron Paul is? He's an objectivist libertarian. That was the word that escaped me. I want to thank that audience member who called in to help. Ron Paul's a libertarian, but I digress. Back to the Sanctity of Life Act. This act recognizes that each state has authority to protect the lives of unborn children. And this is where I part ways with the author of the act. I would have stopped at the term person shall include all such human life. Because this act, in recognizing that each state has authority to protect the lives of unborn children, authority is the key word here. I can't go with that. I don't roll like that, as the youngsters say. The state does not have the authority to protect the lives of unborn children. The state has the obligation to protect the lives of all of the citizens, regardless of their race, sex, age, health, defect, or condition of dependency. And Mr. Paul, or Mr. Paul's, plural, in your act, your Sanctity of Life Act of 2007, by implying that the state has the authority to protect the lives of unborn children, you imply that the state has the authority not to as well. It would seem to me, or at least you leave the door open, and I'm not for leaving the door open. When it comes to the God-given right to life of all persons. So, Mr. Dobson, I know that James Dobson is smarter than I am. I know that. I'll bet his reading comprehension is light years beyond my reading comprehension. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm miscomprehending what the Sanctity of Life Act states or leaves open to question here. And maybe Mr. Dobson, being a PhD, maybe he understands it. And if so, I wish you would give me a call, Jim. Talk to me about it. Help me understand why you would endorse a candidate that would leave open the possibility that any state, by a vote of the people or an act of the legislature, it seems to me, could exercise their authority or not exercise their authority to protect the lives of unborn children. Jim, I think you're smarter than that. I think you're smarter than that. So I'm withholding my endorsement of Jim Dobson's new ministry. I'm gonna formally, publicly withhold my endorsement until Jim calls me up and explains his position on the word authority in this act. I mean, Jim could have helped them write that, maybe, and they could have done a better job. We're gonna hold open that possibility, because where there's life, there's hope. And I'm gonna get to a story here in a minute, not in a minute, in a matter of seconds, that is gonna shock the Colorado audience to know what's been happening behind the scenes, the political machinations of the various machines here in the great state of Colorado. Are wrenching and twisting and grinding out that political sausage that we'll all vote on in November. And I'm going to give you some insight. But first, let's stop off in the Midwest from Topeka, Kansas. Kansas House members have voted to override Democratic Governor Mark Parkinson's veto of a late-term abortion bill. Last Monday's vote sends the bill to the Senate there in Kansas. And if the Senate votes to override the governor's veto, the late-term abortion ban becomes law in the great state of Kansas. Under the bill, according to the Associated Press, patients or family members could sue doctors if they have evidence that an abortion violated state law. Now, I'm a personhood supporter. I support the end of all legalized child murder, all of it. In lieu of being able to achieve that through nonviolent political means, I do support efforts to restrict abortions and to even save children. And this, let's see, the measure also requires more details in doctors' reports to the state about abortions if viable fetuses after the 21st week of pregnancy. Well, I don't know that I would have put that in there. What's that all about? That seems a bit unnecessary. Better record keeping when murdering children? I don't think. It's so sad that the pro-life community has become so inundated with child-killing regulations that we can't even seem to write a decent bill anymore. The Associated Press report ends, "No doctor in Kansas is known to perform late-term abortions since last year's murder of George Tiller." Interestingly enough. So out in Kansas, the pro-life community, in an effort to restrict abortions, appears to me, once again, as the pro-life community is wont to do, to put language into their own law that would probably preserve legalized abortion, even if Roe versus Wade were overturned. And now we go to the big breaking news, and we'll go to a live report from parts unknown, an undisclosed location. Bob Enyart, speak your mind.
Doug, thanks for having me on the show. How are you?
Well, Bob, thanks for helping us with personhood.
Well, you're welcome. There's some success, and I have thoughts on two of the things you've mentioned, but the news is that now every one of the top Republican candidates in Colorado are supporting the Personhood Amendment 62.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? All of Colorado's major Republican candidates are supporting Amendment 62, Colorado's Personhood Amendment. Bob, what has happened?
Well, it's pretty neat, Doug. Ken Buck, for example, he, I think, is the hero who really led the way. And then there's Dan Mays, Jane Norton, and Scott McGinnis. And they have all stated publicly, and it's in the headlines the last couple days, that they're all supporting personhood. And this is the opposite of what happened 2 years ago when all the top Republican candidates and the party itself, the chairman of the party, they all opposed Amendment 48, as you recall.
I do recall that. In fact, yeah. I recall those Republicans losing their races, oddly enough.
Yeah, that's true. And I remember Colorado Right to Life sent out a voter scorecard to 7,000 pro-life families in the state weeks before the election and put the actual abortion record legacy of Bob Schaefer and John McCain. And it was pretty ugly. You know, John McCain has supported killing many millions of unborn children. If anybody doubts that, they could go to exceptionscalculator.com and just put in John McCain's name and put in the dates he's been in office and then just click on his policies. So you've got candidates who support the killing of millions of children, and Christians are lied to and told that they're pro-lifers.
Yeah, that's been going on for quite some time. And Bob, I can't help but think that it's the efforts of Colorado Right to Life, American Right to Life, in documenting the attitudes of so many of our Republican and pro-family leaders. Basically, American Right to Life and Colorado Right to Life has been working to hold conservatives' feet to the fire.
Yeah, that's right. And Doug, what's happening in small ways so far is similar to what MoveOn.org did to the Democratic Party nationwide. They were intolerant of middle-of-the-road Democrats.
Right.
They said, you're either going to be true to the principles of, you know, our worldview, or we're going to oppose you. And they were said, you know, it was said that they were behaving badly and all. And what they did is they got the most liberal, most extreme Democrat into the White House.
That's right.
So MoveOn.org, because they stood by their principles, even though they're wicked, godless, sexually immoral, child killers, they succeeded in pulling the whole party to their principles. And the way they did that is they decided they were not going to compromise on their wickedness.
Wow.
So Colorado Right to Life has the same strategy, only we didn't get it from MoveOn.org. We got it from God and His Word, the Bible.
Amen. So, Bob, is it is it a bit of political pragmatism here? I read the article in the Sentinel over in Grand Junction.
Yeah.
A political poster out there named Floyd Cerulli.
He's quoted
in the article as saying, any issue that would bring conservative voters to the polls is something that Republicans in Colorado need to embrace. So do you see this as a blip of political pragmatism on the part of conservatives?
Well, when, of course, there is some of that, but when blacks are enslaved and they have no liberty, and you've got some politicians who fight because they know it's right to abolish slavery, and you have others who give in because that's where the climate is going, the blacks who are freed will take it either way.
Amen. Amen.
They'll take it either way. And the children who are being killed, they'll take it either way, the reprieve on their coming death penalty. So whether these Republicans know right from wrong, and some of them know right from wrong, and Colorado Right to Life's website has candidate surveys.
Right.
And you could see, you know, some of these guys are heroic, and I mentioned Ken Buck before as an example.
Amen.
And so, and others, like Jay Norton, she's had exceptions, as far as I know, as long as I recall, Jay Norton has exceptions. But thankfully, she's now supporting a 100% abortion ban, Amendment 62, because exceptions, God has a different word than exceptions. It's children.
Yeah.
God's word is children, and an exception is really a euphemism for a child who's intentionally killed.
Mm.
And God doesn't see it as an exception. He sees it as a child who's killed.
Yeah.
So, Doug, there's maybe some political pragmatism. I mean, Scott McGinnis was a member of Republicans for Choice.
Right. Isn't that well documented?
Sure.
And Bob, wouldn't it be an amazing blessing if for pragmatic political reasons, Republicans join forces with the pro-lifers in Colorado who refused to compromise, and years down the road, we find Scott McGinnis, Jay Norton, and other Republican leaders who are shoulder to shoulder with the personhood movement as this battle continues, because the momentum, I truly believe, Bob, that the momentum in history and right is on our side, and we can change minds and hearts.
Yeah, and so, Doug, comments on two things you've covered.
Help me out with those.
Ron Paul's Sanctity of Life Act.
Yes.
Not only does it say that the states have the authority instead of the obligation.
Right.
But it goes on to say that the states can regulate abortion. And when the states regulate abortion, permit abortion. When they permit abortion, then the federal government has to look the other way. For example, the federal courts, the Supreme Court, cannot step in and say, hey, you're not allowed to enslave blacks, you're not allowed to kill Jews, you're not allowed to abort children.
Mm.
Ron Paul is saying that we have the highest court in the land, and they can ignore human rights in their ruling.
Interesting. Bob, you know, I was operating from an official summary that I downloaded from the Paul website, and it's titled Official Summary.
The Paul website conveniently gives an official summary, but if you go to prolifeprofiles.com/Paul, you will see the part of his bill that he left out.
I see.
Of their official summary.
So, Bob, are you saying that we shouldn't trust these politicians' own website as the final authority on their pro-life views, that perhaps we should double-check them against prolifeprofiles.com?
Yeah, Colorado Right to Life, we don't trust their website. We trust the text of the legislation that they introduce.
I'm going to make that an official habit of show prep from this day forward. To check any politician's claims on their website regarding the life issue against prolifeprofiles.com. I appreciate that.
And real quick, let me tell you why Colorado Right to Life opposes any regulation of abortion in any ban other than 100% ban, including a ban on late-term abortion.
Yes.
Because a ban on late-term abortion, let's say you, it says you can't do an abortion after 22 weeks.
Right.
Well, the overwhelming implication is you can do an abortion at 21 weeks.
Yeah, that would be the implication.
And when we clean up, when we do the heavy lifting for Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, we make their industry look better. We could entrench it. If we ended all surgical abortion and kept the chemical abortifacients,
right,
because we failed in personhood, well, we could have 100 million children killed over the next 20 years through chemical abortifacients. So we need to fight for the God-given right to life, not that, well, you could only kill the Jews who are less than 8 years of age.
Right.
No, that is, that's wrong. It's immoral.
And Bob, that is why you're the host and you're the pastor. And, you know, speaking of the fountainhead, when it comes to pro-life attitudes, thoughts, and philosophy, Bob Enyart, you are the fountainhead that we all rely on.
Well, I don't know about that, but Doug, Ayn Rand, you know, Rand, she named herself after her typewriter. Rand's typewriter.
Is that right?
In iron, because it rhymed with mine.
Wow, the brilliance is exposed here. Bob, thank you so much for calling in, keeping us on the straight and narrow here.
God bless you.
Go to kgov.com, roll over your retirement to Bob Enyart Live, and Maranatha in Arvada, what a great school.
At Bob Enyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.